What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hello there, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to those who celebrate. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester here coming to you in all kinds of ways, over the air on KFH 97.5, 1240 AM, on our video streams on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X. Glad to have you all with us. All the different ways we take you in here and you take us in, we appreciate it. The Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, it's all a lot of fun. Thanks for being here with us. We've got a fun show coming up today for you. We have Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us in just a few minutes. We have Sri Islata, our KU insider, joining us as well on the show today. The Royals get a big win last night. We are inching closer and closer to college football season. We are closer to the NFL season. It's all coming for you. It's all what's on tap today, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. The just-announced Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with more than a dozen more breweries for samples in celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Another busy day today. A little bit of breaking news in the NFL this morning. James Cook and the Bills, they reached an agreement on an extension. He gets his bag, four-year, $48 million extension for one, you know, a guy that's become one of the NFL's best running backs. And there was a brief contract dispute from him and threats of holding out and that sort of thing. But he gets his money. There aren't a lot of running backs out there that do get paid like that, and he's one of them.
Yeah, we've seen him. We've seen Kyren Williams get that this offseason. You know, maybe there's a chance and a hope that you know, Isaiah Pacheco could have a big year and actually get paid. Remember, he was such a late draft pick. It's going to be a while before he makes any real money if he can stay healthy this year. But look, the running backs, Tommy, are getting paid. Christian McCaffrey got paid. We're seeing guys get paid. Maybe this is good news for Breece Hall. The position that was sort of forgotten about for the few years has gone away. This is the ebbs and flows of the NFL. This is how it goes. Now all of a sudden, running backs have value again. Derrick Henry, two of the big contenders. Derrick Henry with the Ravens, and now Cook with the Bills. We know McCaffrey's getting paid for the 49ers. We know Saquon Barkley's getting paid for the Eagles. I mentioned Kyren Williams for the Rams. A lot of these good teams in the NFL are paying running backs now, and I think. Doesn't that warm your heart a little bit after the position was just being so disrespected for, I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, there have been so many running backs that had kind of gotten thrown in the trash a little bit, and they weren't able to make any money, or they were getting cut, or they weren't able to get extensions from their teams and all of that. I don't know as of right this second. I'm not sure I'd be totally on board with an Isaiah Pacheco extension like what James Cook got.
No. I don't mean now.
Like, I mean, a 4-year deal for a guy that runs like crazy and, you know, has been often injured. I don't know if there's, at this point, I would say the jury is still out on if there will be gas left in the tank for a 4-year extension for him. But I do hope that he has a productive season and he can get some kind of contract from the Chiefs. But I don't think I'd be advocating for 4 years, $48 million for Isaiah Pacheco.
I definitely don't mean now, and I definitely don't mean 4 years, $48 million. I mean just kind of anything for him, honestly, like anything, because the Chiefs cycle through these guys, and it's not that wasn't even like a commentary. They need to pay. It was just I've worried about him in the past. Like, man, this guy's going to he's going to lay it all out on the line in the NFL and probably never get a good payday. So maybe there are some trends and more motivation for him, honestly, to stay healthy. Look, he can grow and adapt too, and could be a big part of the Chiefs offense if he's able to stay on the field. And we're being a little unfair. He's had one injury of significance. It's just predictive because of his style of running. People used to say that about Derrick Henry too, a little bigger than Isaiah Pacheco. But yeah, that's pretty interesting news there for the Bills. We wondered what would happen with that position. That's been a little bit contentious with them. The Royals get their big win last night, Tommy. Another one. They're doing what they're supposed to do. That one more in line with the way we thought it should go. 8-5 winners. The offense leads the way in that one. The bullpen a little bit shaky for the Royals. They gave up 3 runs in 3 1/3 innings, but it didn't matter because the offense exploded and here they come. Maybe this is, you know, maybe we're starting to see it a little bit. I know it's against the Nationals, but, you know, they could be losing these games too.
Well, yeah, and Michael Wacha had a really impressive start. He didn't go quite as deep in the game as he had in previous starts, but he looked pretty rock solid when he was out there. Really a fairly efficient outing for him too. The pitch count stayed relatively low. And I think that Matt Quatrero kind of thought, okay, the Royals have a pretty good lead. The offense is clicking tonight. We don't necessarily need Wacha to go 7 or 8 innings and throw a bunch of pitches. Let's go ahead and turn it over to the bullpen. And it was a little bit shaky at times from the bullpen pieces, but when it mattered the most in the 9th inning, they actually called on Lucas Ursig to give Carlos Estevez a night off. And Ursig went 1-2-3 in the 9th and earned only his second save of the season. Well, you know, he was the primary closer for the back half of the year last year before the Royals went out and acquired Estevez. He hasn't had a whole lot of save opportunities, but he was able to take advantage of that. And that was a really quick 9th inning too. The Nationals really didn't put up much of a fight, you know, even though they were only a couple of runs down. So that was good to see. And then, yeah, offensively, it was an explosion for the Royals, and specifically with Vinny Pasquantino. He had 5 RBIs on the night, hit a massive 3-run home run that was a rocket out to right field. That was pretty exciting to watch. He had a really good offensive game, and that was great to see.
It was. They have those kinds of offensive players that can carry you into a night, just like Vinny did last night. We know Bobby Witt Jr. can do that. We know Salvi can do that. Heck, Michael Garcia has been able to do that this year. I've always thought that's what, you know, could be a big part of why they could have a really extended stretch of baseball. But they're going to have to pitch, and it was nice. I'm with you. Estevez needed a night off, and it was good to get him one. And now they come back to day baseball, and if they need him today, he'll be locked in and ready to go. And that's that's big. You got to be able to do that kind of stuff.
On top of that, too, I mean, I think the Royals have shown over the last week or so that that they're committed to not have Jonathan India bat leadoff. It's been either Mike Yastrzemski or Mikel Garcia. They've kind of gone back and forth, and India has moved down the lineup. And he paid it off last night. He had a two-run homer that was a great at-bat for him, got the ball out of the ballpark to add to that lead for Kansas City. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to move him out of the leadoff spot, especially if you've got a couple of guys in Garcia and Yastrzemski that can split that role, and they can be effective at the very top of the lineup too.
Yeah, it's good. Now they got day baseball today. Finish off the sweep. It is the Nationals. It would be nice. Hey, want to tell you that Sports Talk right here on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS, KWCH 12, and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are so close and cannot wait for those CBS games over the Friends on 12 News. It's going to be a blast. We're going to get to college football before that. Again, Shreyas Lotta coming up in the next hour. We'll talk a little KU. No love in that AP top 25 like there was in the coaches poll. We'll discuss that and other things. Up next, Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director. It's been about a month since we've chatted. We'll get all caught up, get ready for the fall sports season. Look ahead to some men's hoops, some TBT reactions. That's all next. Don't go away. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Joining us now, Kevin Salt, State's Athletic Director. Kevin, we're via phone line today, so I'm going to pretend that you have your best Hawaiian on here this morning to celebrate one of the great days of the week. How are you this morning?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having us on the show. Tommy, where's the Hawaiian shirt?
You know, you got to be a little different. You got to buck the trend and not just follow the crowd all the time. That's what I tell Jacob every single week.
He's a wuss.
Well,
he won't do it. He won't do it.
I'm joining you in the dress shirt Wednesday. We've got fall address with all of our faculty, staff, and students, and athletics is playing a key role in that, so I've got to dress it up a little bit, put on a show.
There's not a better opportunity to make a statement right now that we're here to have some fun.
That's
in
right.
Chalker athletics. Kevin, that's speaking right. of having fun, man, the TBT was perfect. I think you probably heard a lot of the same things we did after that, especially after that Sunday win. Like, man, this is so great. Coke Arena, we got to get this back. How much does that fire you guys up to see that sort of momentum, walk up crowds like that, the energy, the whole program celebrating? What a great time it was for Shocker basketball now and then and all over the place. It was a couple weeks ago now.
Man, it was a great couple of weeks, guys. I'm staring right now at the tickets paid and attendance numbers, and you guys might be amazed. Like the Aftershocks played sessions 2 through 7, and I'm just going to reel off a bunch of numbers at you. But these were the announced attendances sessions 2 through 7. We went 2,600, 2,300, 3,100, 4,400, 5,200, and then 9,000. We take that as a significant and awesome sign of what the Wichita community does when you put a great product on the floor. And it's interesting, guys, we've had a lot of conversations, obviously, in the college space about, you know, the transfer portal and roster turnover and all those things. And I remember having a conversation with someone in the community, and they asked me, hey, how do you combat that conversation in the community? And it was Monday, right after the championship Sunday. I said, well, there were 9,000 people in Coke Arena on Sunday night, and we had 4 alumni from our Wichita State men's basketball program. So there clearly was 9,000 folks in Wichita that were really excited about the success on the floor, the opportunity to win a championship, and not maybe knowing everybody on the roster.
I think that's such a big point. I mean, you know, the guys that up until they played those games in Wichita, you know, the fan base didn't know who they were, but they became household names and they became, you know, Aftershocks legends and all of that. How do you, it's probably hard to quantify, but is there a way to be able to sort of bottle up that energy and then be able to maybe show it as an example to the current players, the current coaching staff, all of that? Like, you know, look, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, there's no question. And guys, I was the first one to text a screenshot of those attendance numbers to our head coaches and just reinforce and encourage them in terms of what they're doing to build their programs. When we put quality products on the court and the field, the Wichita community will definitely support that. And not only the Wichita community, guys, we're talking television viewership. The championship game that was on Fox was the most watched TBT in history. It was up over 67% from the 24 Fox Championship. And TBT also set the overall attendance record at just over 85,000 fans, and certainly Wichita led that component of it. So it's a very, very encouraging component. And we bottle it up, guys. We bottle it up in terms of messaging within our department. We talk about it, but we also use that opportunity to sell season tickets. TBT is such a great partner that they allow us to do some very, very creative things. And so we invited lapsed season ticket holders into Coke Arena for semifinals and finals. And we did our season ticket pitch with them. And we showed them open seats within the arena. Our staff was engaged and involved. And we will sell a lot of season tickets off of the TBT championship. You couldn't ask for a better platform for marketing and promotions for a men's basketball program in July, in the middle of the summer, to have 9,000 folks in your basketball arena and give you a platform from which you can market and promote your own programs and sell season tickets. So it's been very successful for us, and we're encouraged about the season upcoming.
Well, and I wanted people to think about what you just said for a second. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. Viewership records in a championship game that was played in Wichita, and we know 9,000 people weren't watching it on TV. They were there at Coke Arena. I wonder, Kevin, if that has any, and maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't. The economy's been tight. I run a couple of businesses. Like we can all feel it out there, especially the entertainment space. I know you guys too. Maybe there's some momentum. Maybe the timing of all of this could just be perfect. If Shocker men's basketball has a big year, do you feel that way at all?
I could not agree with you more. I think we have a very, very unique opportunity here to have 9,000 folks, as I mentioned, in Coke Arena is certainly a blessing in the middle of July. Guys, that was the largest attendance inside Coke Arena since COVID. So we're talking about 5-6 years now. And so it's retraining and getting back into the habit of getting to Coke Arena. And obviously the product on the floor plays a huge component to that. And we're excited about the roster. Our guys had a chance to scrimmage against the TBT team and they beat them. Very physical game. Our guys didn't back down. We were very strong defensively. Again, early exhibition preseason, but you take the data points where you can get them. So we're really excited about that, guys. And I would tell you there's some momentum in terms of season ticket sales. We've got several hundred new season tickets sold. Our renewal process is ongoing. The renewal due date is September 15th. So we'll know when we get to the middle of September where we are there. The goal is to be in that 90 to 95% renewed range. That's a really good spot for our industry. And I think we're tracking in that 90 to 92%. So the time is now, guys. We've got the lowest season ticket that we've offered in 15 years. We have a $400 season ticket. And I'll share this quick story with you. I had a very engaged and generous donor that approached us and said, hey, we want to give to the roster resources. We want to help you guys recruit and retain talent, but we don't just want to write a check. We want to see if we can do it in a creative way. And so long story short, where we landed is this gentleman's going to buy 50 of our $400 season tickets, right? So a $20,000 spend that's going to end up going into revenue and roster resources and all those things. But at the end of the day, he said, what's most important to me is to support the program, to get people in those seats. And so we've partnered with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and they'll have 25 sets of tickets that they will offer to their big and little pairs. There's over 700 pairs in the Wichita community. And so it gives them an opportunity. It helps Big Brother Big Sister recruit volunteers. And those are the types of impacts that we're looking for, right? There's revenue involved in that. There's people in the seats. There's investment in the community. And so you'll see a story on that here in the next couple of days. And obviously, we'd love to expand that program. And a $400 season ticket allows you the opportunity to do that.
Speaking of Coke Arena, Kevin, we're knocking on the doorstep of, you know, the upcoming sports season for Wichita State in volleyball right around the corner. We're a couple of weeks away from the first volleyball match. What do we know about the squad of obviously Chris Lamb as head coach? What do we know about the way that season's set up?
Yeah, we've got four starters coming back, and Chris would tell you, I think, both publicly and privately, that they have assembled a recruiting class that might be their best in the last 5 to 7 years. So they've got some depth. They've got some experience. They've done a nice job in both the portal, but also recruiting freshmen. So that piece has been really good. The schedule's loaded again, as it always is every year, guys. The first weekend, the Shocker Volleyball Classic August 29th through the 31st. We've got Kennesaw State and Arkansas in here, which is really, really good. We play at BYU in their tournament, so we'll pick up some great strength there. We've got K-State, KU, all those things. So a really good schedule, and I expect us to be ranked relatively high in the preseason schedule with the American. Again, some good depth. We've got athleticism. We've got experience. We've got starters coming back. So we have high expectations for our volleyball program coming off their first NCAA tournament and conference championship last year in 7 years.
Could you guys feel that momentum at all in the offseason from last season? Was that something tangible that, you know, even off the court you guys have been able to use?
Yeah, I think so, man. When you're hosting young women on your campus and you've got beautiful facilities to show them, you've got an experienced and very capable staff that's invested in their development and success. You walk into the basketball office and there's a conference championship trophy on the front desk with an NIVC championship trophy from a couple of years ago. We certainly are trending in a much better direction, and Coach Lamb and his staff are to be accredited for that. But most importantly, just the hard work of our student athletes and our student athletes and families that have trusted Wichita State to come here and build a championship program.
It's been a minute, Kevin, since we've talked about facilities. You know, of course, it wasn't that long ago that the big topic of conversation was the project at Cessna Stadium and all of that. How are things looking overall, facility-wise, the projects and all the different things you guys are working on?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that question. We finished up the softball indoor over at Wilkins, full indoor infield turf. So what a phenomenal facility for our softball program. Sydney McKinney took the first swings as we were hosting AUSL this summer. We will very soon transition into constructing the team operations building, which is just on the south side of that facility, guys. So we'll move the batting cages and hitting and pitching tunnels over to the north side of the indoor, and then we'll start construction on a truly first-class team operations facility with team rooms, locker rooms, coaches' offices, mud rooms, training rooms, all those elements in there. So really, really excited about that and the work that we've done here in the last couple, 3 years that will tie into that in terms of the new dugout, the lights, the field, all those things. So softball is progressing very well. You mentioned University Stadium. As you guys know, we finished up the first phase on the east side prior to state high school track, and that went over very well. We had plenty of spectator seating. I know that was a concern for a lot of folks. And it set up very, very well in terms of the designed areas for team camps. Guys, the weather obviously helped. But last year, we set an attendance record over that two-day event of just barely over 30,000. And this year, we had 31,300. So set another attendance record. That's a really important event for our community. It provides $7 million of direct economic impact to our businesses, our restaurants, our hotels, to bring that number of folks to Wichita. And so we are currently in phase two, which is the event level. So you've got all your field venue areas. You've got an Olympic size 9-lane track. You'll have an artificial turf surface on the inside that will be sized to fit a 75-yard by 120-yard soccer or football field. This will truly be a community facility. We have aspirations of hosting high school football games of the week on Friday nights. We want to host high school soccer. We want to get into some state championships. And it will pave the way down the road for us to seriously consider adding women's soccer to our sport portfolio. And we've got some other really great opportunities on the horizon that we're discussing now. And it's all because President Muma and our university are investing significantly in University Stadium. So we'll finish up that event area. We'll get into state high school track 26, and then we'll start the larger project, which is the west side.
Kevin Saul joining us, Wichita State's athletic director. Before we let you get to the day's busy activities, back to school, let's talk about Shocker basketball, not the aftershocks. This crew's been on campus now for, I don't know, a month, maybe a month and a half. What are you hearing from the coaches? Is this group, I mean, it bringing the optimism that we know we talked about earlier and how valuable that can be?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. Yeah, it's a great summer. We've got a great group of young men that are, I think immediately you could tell that culturally they really enjoy being around each other, and that's everybody on the squad. And so that piece is really encouraging to see that they enjoy being around each other. They work hard, incredibly competitive. Now, Jacob, I would tell you and Tommy that everybody feels great about their roster in August, right? Because you've had a great summer. There's been very little adversity. They crushed it in the weight room. They did a really nice job there. And what I will tell you is I've watched, so just my personal observations, it's an incredibly competitive group. We've got four guys that, when you talk about where we've improved on the floor, you got four guys that shot better than 40% from three at their previous institution. And so we feel really good about being able to stretch the defense a little bit in terms of effective shooting outside. We've got two very different centers in Will and Emmanuel. Will's 7'2", quick feet. He's quick up and down the floor, can score with his back to the basket. So he's got some post moves. Emmanuel is an absolute load. 6'9", 240, I think, 230, 240. And he has a motor that just won't quit. And so really good class that we felt like coming in. And as I mentioned, guys, they scrimmaged the TBT, and I had an opportunity to engage with Zach Bush, a couple of the players at an FCA event. I asked those guys, I said, hey, what did you think of our club as you scrimmaged them? And the resounding response was incredibly physical. They were not scared. They did not back down to the physical style of TBT play against guys that were 26 to 34 years old. Shot it well. And the piece that I think is most encouraging for the Wichita community is Zach Bush told me, he said, man, you guys did not miss one pick and roll defense. You guys were prepared for it. You defended incredibly well. You were really physical. You rebounded well. And those are all the trademarks that resonate in the Wichita community as it relates to what they want from a Wichita State men's basketball program. So just would encourage folks, man, now's the time to get on. We've got our cheapest season tickets in 15 years. They can call 316-978-FANS, and we'll get you taken care of. It's a great time to jump on board.
There it is. There's the number. Let's fill up Coke Arena this season. Man, it was too much fun not to. Kevin, we appreciate it. We'll have a couple more conversations. Not many before we're into that season as well, which is good stuff there. Go back and check any of it out that you might have missed on the Odyssey app, Tommy. It was everyone had the same reaction. Every single person had the same reaction. Man, that was awesome. We got to get that back. It was the biggest crowd since COVID. It was certainly as loud as any crowd I've seen. And I've been in there for a couple of the real premier games since, where it's been close to capacity and all that stuff. But yeah, people are just ready for it. You couldn't walk out of that arena that day without people looking at you just kind of with it's like that universal head nod. Like you're walking out and everybody just kind of gives each other the, yeah, that's right.
I think the fans that were there, I know at least I felt it watching it on TV, but there was kind of this nostalgic feel of this is the way the Roundhouse used to be, and we get a chance to kind of experience it again, but it doesn't mean that it can't be that way in the future. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. They know that, you know, they've got their work cut out for them to get the fan base back. The product on the court, I mean, winning cures all, you know, so that's first and foremost. But then all the different things that I know the university is trying to implement with season ticket pricing and fan experience and amenities and all these different things, that all plays into it. It's like a big pot of stew, right? You got to get all the ingredients right. And once it's mixed together in a great way, you know, that's when it's fantastic. And so, it's a challenge. It's an uphill climb. But I think if anything, that final in the TBT, it shows that it can be done again.
You buttering me up, Stu, talk on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
I knew you would like that analogy. I knew, you know, you're right there. You love soup. So I figured that would get you going.
So I was right behind the national broadcasters, and every like break or moment I was just watching them, and they would just look at each other, just these big grins on their face. It's a badge of honor. Coke Arena is, I think, for the community to be as loud and rowdy as any venue in the country. It is as loud as any venue I've been to. Let's talk Royals. We briefly touched on it. The game against the Nationals, they get day baseball today. They're back to 500. They've struggled putting any extension on those games over 500. But what better opportunity than tonight when you're playing the Nationals? You got a chance for the sweep. It's day baseball. You're running out of time. They're 120 games into this thing, and you got your ace, Seth Lugo, on the mound. This is it. Go finish the job and then get into that day off and catch your breath a little bit.
I heard the broadcasters last night on TV say that this was the third time in the last 11 days that the Royals have been back at 500. So I feel like it's like a broken record. Like we come on this show every few days and say the Royals are back to 500, and you know they've gotten there. They've not been able to get up over the hump. They fall a game or two under 500, then they win a couple and get back up there. It's been 2 months. Can you believe that? 2 months since the Royals have been over 500. You have to go all the way back to the middle of June, the last time that they were over 500. And they've got an opportunity now, like you mentioned. You lined out all the reasons why the Royals can get over 500 with a win tonight, with Seth Lugo on the mound against a team that you know, you've been able to beat up on a little bit over the first two games, and show why you have the potential to be a playoff team. I mentioned on the show yesterday, I think it was on our sign-off, that I was hoping that we would be talking today about what it would take for the Royals to sweep the Nationals. And we're in that position right now. We're in that place right now with their ace on the mound. He didn't have a very good outing his last time out. And so now you've got an opportunity with Lugo on the hill to be able to kind of shake off the way that the last start went against a team that you should be able to beat and have a really good opportunity to do so. And then, by the way, you welcome in the White Sox this weekend, who also are not very good. And so, like, this could be, this should be an opportunity for the Royals to take full advantage of and get right back into the hunt.
Well, yeah, look, if you don't think the Nationals are very good, wait till you see the White Sox.
Right, exactly.
Nationals can hit. It's, this is going to be good. Now, listen, their chances are, I mean, they're very, very low to be able to overcome the hole that they've dug. To be pretty honest about it, they're like less than 5%, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're low.
But, and I heard this, so this is what they were talking about. It was Eisenberg on the radio. I was driving home from soccer practice last night. A couple of the issues that they face in that are that they do not have tiebreakers against the Red Sox, against the Yankees. I don't know if it's impossible yet, but they may not be able to get the tiebreaker against Texas. Like all these teams they're trailing, they also have a tiebreaker loss to. So while they're actually 7 games back of the Mariners aren't one of them because they'll play them still. So let's say the Red Sox, as they're actually 5.5 games behind the Red Sox, they're actually 6.5 games. The Yankees, they're 4 games back. Technically, they're actually 5 games back because we already know they don't have those tiebreakers. So that makes it even more daunting. And the only way this is possible is if the Royals go ballistic over these last 62 games. If they need, Tommy, if
42.
They need to get,
they only have 42
wins.
Games left. They only play 42
sorry, yeah,
games.
42. Yeah, my bad. 42 games left. If they're going to get to 87 of those wins,
you have to win, right? 27 of your final 42
games. You got to go 27
games.
And 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. 27 and 15 down the stretch. When you say that out loud, that's not that crazy, right? Like 27 and 15 is not anything that's like out of reach, unheard of. But man, you got to play really good baseball to do it.
The only way that doesn't seem out of reach is when you look at their remaining strength of schedule, and they have one of the easiest strengths of schedule remaining in their final 42 games. And when you combine, when you take a look at all of the contenders in both the American League and the National League, the Royals have one of the more advantageous remaining schedules left out of the quote unquote contenders to make it to the playoffs. And so you've got to take advantage of it. I actually went through after the game last night. I'm like, okay, I want to go game by game and look at their remaining 42 games. I think the Royals conceivably can go 27 and 15 without sweeping any of the series that are coming up. Now, they've got to go 2 of 3. They've got to go 3 of 4. But if you bake in a couple of losses here and there, especially with some of the more difficult series they have coming up, I know they play the Mariners at one point. They play the Rangers, who are in front of them at one point. They play the Phillies, I think, on the road. I think they go to Philadelphia and play them in the next couple of weeks, too. Like, you're baking in losses here and there. So conceivably, it's not like we're saying the Royals have to go and sweep a bunch of series if they want to get into it. And they've got to win series, but they don't necessarily have to sweep them.
I think that's
important to know.
Some of the bad ones.
They don't have to. They should. They need to. But if we're just looking at trying to get to a number, if we're looking at them trying to get to 27 wins out of their final 42, they can do it without sweeping any of these teams coming up. We would like them to, the bad teams, absolutely. And there should be some advantageous matchups to be able to talk. Like the White Sox this weekend, for instance, are one that, you know, you should conceivably sweep them. But they don't have to. I think that's the silver lining in all of this, is that you can go moving forward knowing that it's like every game is not a single elimination game moving forward. Like, it's not like if you drop one, all right, well, there goes our chances. You can't let it get away from you. You can't start losing series, but you don't have to sweep them either.
I think if you take care of business today, for instance, against, let's say they sweep the Nationals and they come out and sweep the White Sox, that lessens the burden of the series they do have remaining when maybe they go to Philadelphia or they host Toronto. What's interesting about the schedule you laid out, I think it's good when you don't have to play as many bad teams, but here's what's kind of funny about it. They also don't get a lot of head-to-head opportunities against these teams that they're chasing the rest of the way. So they get the Rangers, who they're currently chasing, not by much. They'll get the Tigers a bunch if you think that's at all still within reach. But of the teams they trail, they do have a series against Cleveland. There's one series left against Seattle. Toronto's probably a division winner, so that they don't really matter. You know, there aren't a lot of where you can look at it and say, all right, they're going to be able to gain ground in this one. So they are going to need some help. And those other teams, because there are still so many, are going to play each other too, which is handy. You are you're 8.5 games behind Detroit, 6 head to head. That feels like that feels not possible. So it's still the wild card, but you're not going to be able to directly gain that ground against those teams. You don't really play them directly. Rick says they are who they've shown us they are, just an average 500 team, not going 27-15. Look, Rick, the odds are there. I get it, right? I'm not like you're not like breaking news to anybody that going 27-15 is not likely. But this team, when it has not been as good offensively, has won, was it 16 out of 18? Like, they've done it this year. They've shown us they're capable this year of being that kind of team. Now, will they? Again, chances are really low that they can get this pulled off. But if it is 87 wins and you think about it as 27-15, then yeah, look, they're talented enough to have a stretch of baseball like that. We've seen it this year, but they're also capable of, you know, laying an egg too, which we've also seen plenty of this year. So it's there. I mean, we're just trying to look at this thing and see it. I am like, you can't write them off yet. That would be as crazy as saying they have no chance, would be to completely write them off.
I may have been as close as I've been all season long to writing them off Monday night when they fell behind 2-0 and then fell behind 4-2 in the opening game against the Nationals. After dropping the heartbreaker on Sunday, dropping 2 of 3 to the Twins, they were down on Monday, and I think I even texted you. I'm like, it's not going to happen for the Royals. Like, this is slipping out of their fingertips. It's not going to work. And then all of a sudden, they come back, and they win. They win again yesterday. They've got an opportunity to sweep a team that they should sweep, and then a weekend series against another team they should sweep. And then, as I mentioned before, you take a look at their remaining strength of schedule, and it's one of the easiest in Major League Baseball. And so, Rick, like, generally, like, with that statement, I would probably be a little bit more agreeable to what you just said. Like, they're not a playoff team. They've shown us who they are. They're not going to go 27-15 until you look at their remaining strength of schedule, and it's gettable. It's there for them. Will they do it, I think, is another question. But it's set up for them to be able to do that. They've just got to take advantage of it. And if they can continue to string together wins against teams that they should be beating, like the Nationals and the White Sox, this week generally could be pretty impactful for them and their playoff hopes.
I mean, they're a positive weekend away from being two games out in the wild card, right? It's if you ask me right now, are the Royals going to make the playoffs? And I have to give you an answer. I'm going to be with the masses and say no. But I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm not going to say they don't have a chance. I still do think this is a talented team. I think now, for the first time, they're going to have to overcome some real adversity through injuries and all the things that they're facing. But again, like for all the reasons we've thought this was a talented roster, can they go 12 games over 500 in a 42-game stretch? Sure they can.
And by the way, we don't even know that it's going to be 87 wins. It could be 85 wins. Right. Like it could be,
it could be 90.
We don't know, but that's probably a nice little dart throw at a number that they've got to reach, I would imagine. So it could be more than that. It could be fewer than that. Time will tell. One other quick note. I don't know if you saw this or not, but in his first rehab game back, Jack Caglione raked. Like he absolutely raked. I think he was 4 for 5, had a bunch of RBIs. Like he was outstanding. I say keep him there for another couple of weeks. Let him get that confidence built back up before you bring him back up to the bigs.
Yeah, that's going to be some really interesting stuff as that goes through. All right, we're going to come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is a Wednesday. It is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Shri Islada joins us later in this hour, our KU insider. Get you ready for football next weekend. It is, it is close. It'll be here before we know it. Can't wait until we're sitting here on a Monday, Tommy, recapping a weekend, taking it through the week, getting you ready, preps. God, it is like the anticipation of football, whether you're a bigger college or an NFL fan, like whichever one it is, it's as exciting a time of year as there is. Opening day of baseball, Tommy, is wonderful, but it's like this countdown. You get your fantasy football drafts coming up. You're getting ready for week zero now. So it's even a week earlier, but then those first Monday night, the first Thursday night NFL game, which, by the way, I've been looking ahead to on some betting. Yes, I've been looking at early lines. And
not going to be that long before we start talking about against the spread and who we like.
Yeah,
and
I know. Next week, we'll do our predictions that we do every year in the NFL. We'll take you through. We'll give you division winners. We'll give you Super Bowl champions, Super Bowl. We'll do all that. We'll do a lot of that next week. We're still cycling through and sort of trying to sort through some things in the NFL as we get ready for that. Some headlines and things we'll get to. If you missed any of Kevin Saul, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. Good stuff there in the first hour. But what we have left is coming to you. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. The just-announced Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with over a dozen other breweries for samples and the celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Now, when you go to a lager fest, to a beer event, Tommy, is it like the wine things where you're supposed to like swirl it and then spit it out? Or I don't think a beer drinking festival is gonna. There ain't anybody in the world subscribe. I don't subscribe to that either. Wine tasting, but no. It's you put on your.
I mean, if you're swirling beer around in your mouth and spitting it out, you're liable to get yourself beat up at one of these events.
That's exactly.
So
right.
I hope you don't do that.
No, I don't do that at the wine place, much less the beer tape. But be careful if you show up. You know, don't bring a wine glass to a beer drinking event. It's like don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't bring a wine glass to a beer drinking event. You get yourself into a little bit of trouble. That sounds like a good event, though. We appreciate Wichita Brewing Company for bringing you What's on Tap each and every day here on the show. Some headlines. We mentioned this off the top. James Cook, 4-year deal, $30 million guaranteed. It's funny. We're getting these quote-unquote big running back contracts. They're not anywhere near what wide receivers or quarterbacks or defensive ends or offensive linemen are getting paid, but they're at least getting deals done. It's such a crazy dynamic, and I don't know. look, it's better than it was a couple of years ago, but the guys who touch the ball offensively as more than anybody besides a quarterback just have, you know, their market value is, even as some of them are getting paid, it's so much lower than the other positions. And I know it's replacement value, but could you have imagined in like the 80s or 90s, telling NFL fans like, yeah, the running back's not really that valued of a position. Be like, you're nuts. You're crazy.
Yeah. Like, we're not going to pay Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders or, you know, any of those guys. It's a different world than it was back then. Now, I think a lot of it, yeah, I know it's dollar amount, but I think a lot of it is length of contract, the tread on the tires. I mean, and it's shown year after year after year that the physical abuse that a running back takes, especially a bell cow running back, a guy that gets the ball a lot, that like you end up with, it's a fairly risky contract if you lock them in for a long period of time. I would say really recently the only running back that has sort of bucked that trend is Derrick Henry, who's been able to be a bell cow running back, stay relatively healthy, and continue to do it year in and year out. But other than that, I mean, I know Saquon Barkley is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. But it's not like he's been in the league for 10 years yet, you know, to be able to prove that theory. So I think that that's a huge reason why we're not seeing these huge contracts for running backs. It's not even necessarily the amount of money. It's about the length of the contract.
Well, it is. And I, what I think is so interesting, and you're going to roll your eyes at this, but this is sort of what I'm, like when it gets to like paying Micah Parsons or paying J.J. Watt or some of these guys, are you really going to tell me that Micah Parsons is more than two times more valuable than Saquon Barkley? Because that's the contract he's commanding. And my answer to that would be absolutely not. No chance would I be interested in paying a defensive end $45 million a year. Because some of the most impactful players, like to me, it's quarterback and quarterback only. And then everywhere else, I've got to be looking for value. So when I see some of these other positions and the contracts they get, like even offensive linemen, okay, that's protecting the quarterback, right? Fine. If you need to get to that level, okay. But these trends, like these edge rushers, these wide receivers, man, I don't know. Like at some point, I think they price out their true impact. And we're talking about a salary cap too, right? You've got only so much you can use, which is, of course, a big piece of it. If we didn't have a salary cap, it'd be like, well, yeah, pay everybody off. But when you have to, like, I'm looking at this as seeing, you know, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry. They're the three highest paid running backs. Is it a coincidence that those are the three favorites for a Super Bowl this year? Also inside the top six is Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones got a free agent deal. He's up there. So outside of Kamara, right, who got his deal a while ago when the Saints were still good, Jonathan Taylor, depending on what you think of the Colts, like the top five or six guys are all on good teams. I'm trying to look at those kinds of trends, right? Like these teams investing in that position, if they find the right player, of course, it pays off for them.
Who's the
look at the pass rusher? TJ Watt, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett. They all play for crap teams. No offense to those teams.
Who's the anomaly? What team's the anomaly? It's the Chiefs, right? Like there's not,
sure,
they're not investing a ton of money in the running back room. And they're a Super Bowl favorite too. So I mean, it just kind of, it goes to show there's a bunch of different ways to skin a cat.
There are.
At the end of the day, I don't even know if I necessarily like the comparison of Micah Parsons versus Saquon Barkley for value and contract. I almost would rather have the conversation, is Micah Parsons four times more valuable than James Cook is? I mean, James Cook just signed that contract for $12 million a year, and what Micah Parsons wants is about four times that. And so I would almost rather assess that. Like, would you rather have James Cook at running back for the Bills, or would you rather have Micah Parsons at defensive end for the Cowboys at four times that contract? And honestly, I think I'd rather have Micah Parsons at four times. And it's nothing against James Cook, but they've got, Josh Allen, they've got a great offense regardless if they have James Cook out there or not, where the Cowboys absolutely, in my opinion, have to have Micah Parsons on the field.
Okay, I've done this before, and I can't remember if I've done it here, so bear with me for just a second. I'm going to give you a list of the highest paid defensive linemen, and remember that Parsons wants to be the highest. But T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Max Crosby, Nick Bosa, Josh Hines Allen, Brian Burns, Montez Sweat. Okay, you're looking at Steelers, Browns, Texans, Raiders, 49ers, Jaguars, Giants, Bears. Those are those, and like maybe the 49ers. None of those other teams are going to win a Super Bowl. None of them. I think the replacement value is being overhyped on these. And look, these NFL teams know more than I do, and every team is different. But when I go back and I think about the Patriots, man, Bill Belichick was not paying wide receivers, and he was not paying defensive ends like this. He was finding lots of players to rotate in those spots. He was paying his quarterback. He was paying his offensive line. So I just, and Chris Jones is the ultimate outlier in all of this for me, but he's not an edge rusher. He affects every play. He's in effect on every single play. Run, pass, doesn't matter. He's coming up the middle. If I want to, you know, get away from Micah Parsons, I'm going to design something the other direction. So now it's $45 million for a guy that is easy to play call around to some degree. And I'm not saying edge rushers aren't valuable. It's just like, are they that much more valuable than replacement value? When you're talking about how to best utilize the money you have under a salary cap, give me the highly, and I don't like James Cook as the example because I think he was a little touchdown dependent. But, you know, I give me Christian McCaffrey, right? At whatever his number is. Give me Christian McCaffrey at 19 a year. When he's on the field, I think he's far more impactful on almost every play that they run.
On all of those teams you just mentioned, though, and the ones that have the highest paid defensive linemen, how many of them have Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks? That becomes the ultimate question. And
exactly.
I might be forgetting a couple of the teams you mentioned, but none of them maybe really the stood out. Maybe the Niners with Brock Purdy, but none of them stood out to me as, oh yeah, like they've got a fantastic quarterback as well. I mean, that becomes a more important question. And I think that plays in a really large way to the Micah Parsons situation because they've
right,
committed all this money
a year
for Dak Prescott. Does anybody really believe Dak Prescott is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? Because I certainly don't.
Hold that thought. Let's come back because I think that's a really good point. Maybe not even for the reason you tried to make it, but to me it is. Let's come back with it. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster on a Wednesday.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, we're back, everybody, on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. If you want to win some HTO, text the keyword T right now to 20357. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from. At East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. Again, just text the keyword T to 20357. Good luck, everybody. Man, what a great time to be alive. We're talking football, Tommy. We're talking all kinds of fun stuff here. You got that look in your eye.
Well, I can't believe that we haven't even talked about Travis Kelce's photo shoot for GQ. Oh. Did you see that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about Taylor Swift. Is that the one? He looks like he's in like a bear costume.
He's in a bear costume. He's holding an alligator. Looks like he's in a swamp. There's one where he's got a big old snake wrapped around his neck. It's more power to him. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's great. Look, it's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, or it's Bear Costume Wednesday. I'm clearly a style guru, so it's fine. It's good. I'm happy that he's on GQ, and I'm happy that Taylor Swift's on their podcast talking about her album and whatever else. I am. I'll go and I'll check the clip. They usually send the clips out. Maybe I'll listen to it at some point. I think it's interesting. If she hadn't done an interview in that long, apparently she hasn't, that she's on there and, you know, taking care of her boo. That's very sweet of her.
Taking care of her boo. That's fine. You can use that phrase if you want. I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, listen, I'm not going to take it. You know, I'll say what I want. Okay. If I called my wife my boo, she'd punch me in the face.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll say it here in the safety of these spaces. Austin asks, how much does Micah Parsons improve the Cowboys? Do I see them as a playoff team? Yes, I see them as a playoff team. No, I don't see them as a Super Bowl team. how much does he improve the Cowboys? He's a great player. He's one of the best pass rushers in the league. I think he improves them a great deal, but I don't think he improves them enough to win a Super Bowl. I think that, you know, the problem for me in all of this isn't that I really like Micah Parsons, actually. I think he's awesome. It's just not the right fit for those resources to me. And you brought up a really good point with Dak Prescott. All those teams in common, when you asked about those edge rushers, one of those quarterbacks is getting paid premier money, and he's not even premier money. Brock Purdy's kind of, you know, he did get his new deal, though. So he's getting paid, let's call it. And his new deal put him at, looks about, you know, ninth, I think, in the league. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's playing for $14 million this year. So that's kind of irrelevant. But when you look up and down the teams that are having to now pay their quarterbacks the big, big money, you know what's really funny, Tommy? You know the team that's up there? There's two. The Browns are paying Deshaun Watson that kind of money to not be their quarterback. And the other one is the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence. You've got Josh Hines Allen is just under $30 million a year. I believe he's now number six on the list. So there, I do think there is a correlation. You know, people talk about rookie quarterbacks and those little contracts and all that. There, you're not seeing success drawn into paying that position this top money, because most of the teams that are truly in contention are paying quarterbacks a huge number, including the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, who, by the way, are paying their quarterback more than any team in football. That's the correlation. That it does not make sense to me for them to also, you're gonna be talking about $105 million of your cap space going to two players. And that is not a formula to win a Super Bowl. It's just not. And then if you threw in CeeDee Lamb, it's even worse.
I get that correlation, and I think that there is some truth to that. But that being said, I've said it before and I'll say it again, that because the Cowboys committed all this money to Dak Prescott, you're locked into winning now. Like, had they not done this when they did it with Dak, then they could have kicked the can down the road a little bit.
And they shouldn't have.
They shouldn't have done. They shouldn't have signed Dak Prescott to the contract that they did, because you're locked in. Now, this isn't, it's not a rebuilding time now. Like, I know he's got multiple years on this contract, but if you sign him and you pay him all this money, the 2025-2026 season, and then you go and you move away from Micah Parsons and your team in the short term gets worse, yeah, maybe you're building up draft capital and you're trying to rebuild, and a couple of years down the line, Dak is still under contract and you have a new team and you've been able to use the assets you received in return for Micah Parsons to be better down the road. But at least in the short term, you're throwing that money down the drain, essentially, by paying Dak Prescott when you did. And yeah. I've said it before that whether or not it's the right decision competitively to re-sign Micah Parsons and give him the contract that he wants, whether or not competitively it's the right decision, the Cowboys have painted themselves into a corner where I feel like they kind of have to. Like, they kind of have to pay him now.
See, and I don't think they have to. It gets back to the question Austin asked. Does anybody think the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year? Do we see them as a Super Bowl contender? Anybody? No, crickets, right? They're not good enough yet. So if they're not good enough yet, Dak's not as old as people think he is. Like, if you're not good enough yet, then get better next year, right? Make yourself a Super Bowl contender. They're not good enough with Parsons. So if Parsons is going to command the money that you know hamstrings you further, then go get maximum value for him.
You're throwing the money away that you already paid Dak for this season.
Well, but it's not, they're not going to be bad this season. I mean, if you don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, you could say they're throwing it away either way, right? I don't think Micah Parsons is going to put them over the edge to a Super Bowl. I do think that there's a much better chance if you gave a really good drafting team some extra high draft capital and more money to spend, don't don't misunderstand. They don't spend their money well. But I'm saying the better chance for them with Dak Prescott as their quarterback to win a Super Bowl is to have two or three players and not one, and some free agency money to go see if they can find a running back to get three or four more defensive players out there. Micah Parsons isn't going to cure this defense. It probably isn't going to be that good. Matt Eberflus is a really good defensive coordinator, so we'll see. But I think this is where the Cowboys are getting hung up the most. Like, you have to have a real... Now, Jerry Jones always thinks they're capable of winning the Super Bowl. And look, they're going to be better than they're getting. I've told you that, right? I've already think they're the most undervalued team in the win totals markets and all those things. Doesn't mean I think they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think they're pretty good. But I don't think Micah Parsons is the difference between a Super Bowl or not. So give me two or three draft picks, some money in my pocket, and I think it's a better opportunity to get over the edge than to pay Micah Parsons $45 million a year.
I think that we can have this hand-wringing and talking about what the Cowboys should do, shouldn't do. You know, they're going to re-sign him. Jerry Jones is not going to trade Micah Parsons. I would be absolutely floored if Micah Parsons is not playing for the Cowboys this season. I would be floored.
Jimmy Johnson was behind the Herschel Walker trade. That's the one that old school Cowboys fans point at is a transcendent moment in the franchise's history. They had this opportunity with Walker and they took it, but that was a Jimmy Johnson thing. I understand where you're coming from. I don't even think I disagree with you. My opinion is they shouldn't do it. I think there's a better chance they sign him than don't sign him. I just am not sure I believe it comes this year because I think his value is at $45 million now, and I think it's going to be no higher than that at the end of the season. There's just, to me, there's no incentive for the Cowboys to do it now. They've already waited too long. So now you might as well just wait till the end of this year and see if he's healthy, see his production, and go from there. Like, what's Micah Parsons going to do? Walk away from $24 million and the chance to reach free agency? He's not going to do either of those things. He's going to play. So I'd rather him play for $24 million than $45.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you enjoy like thinking about numbers and contracts and working the salary cap and all of that, there is a phenomenal article that's out on ESPN.com from Bill Barnwell where he talks about the bungled contract negotiations from the Cowboys with Prescott, with CeeDee Lamb, with Micah Parsons, and what they could have done. And the timing of different things, and had it been timed better, the amount of money they could have saved and all
that. Nauseating.
You know, Dak Prescott, the Cowboys could have saved about $40 million on his deal overall.
I'll give him a hall pass on Dak because Dak did have a contract. They already did it once.
But the timing of it, I know that he held out and everything, but like it could have been executed in a much better way. With the Micah Parsons deal, they could have signed him to a deal. They could have negotiated with him before the 2024 season, and they didn't. They just paid him in the final year of his rookie deal. They didn't do that. They just exercised the fifth-year option because they were too busy working with Prescott and Lamb. And had they actually prioritized Micah Parsons a year earlier, we wouldn't be in this situation right now. They didn't do it. They just exercised. And I get it. Like, they wanted to save money in the final year because they're tying up all this money with Dak and CD and all of that. But they didn't prioritize Micah Parsons a year ago. And it's ultimately going to cost them a significant amount of money. Had they negotiated with him a season earlier, they probably would have saved quite a bit of money.
Jerry Jones is good at some things as an owner. The worst thing he is as an owner is a contract navigator, to me, in my opinion. That's the, like, of all the things, that's the thing he's the worst at.
And by the way, real quick, the final note on the Micah Parsons thing, in my opinion, is that even though they triggered the fifth and the fifth year option on his rookie contract, they still could have gotten a deal done as soon as the season ended. And they could have gotten ahead of guys like Max Crosby and Miles Garrett and TJ Watt, like these guys that signed. Had they gotten ahead of it, they would have saved more money that way too, but they didn't. They sat on their hands.
Crazy. John asks if we saw the news that the Royals have apparently made the deal to own the old Sprint site. Yes, I did see the news. So I think, and it's a really good question. I'm glad you brought it up, John, because it is out there. I don't know what to make of it, though. is kind of the problem I'm having with it. They essentially, it sounds like, from what I can tell, there was a group that owned the land that had a tough financial spot, and this group that's affiliated with the Royals basically took it off their hands. I don't think for a second that means that's where a new Royals stadium is going. I don't. It could, though, and that's what has people very interested and ears perked up. Well, now they already basically have some land they could put it if they decided to. So I think it's more of a transactional thing. I think it's more of a timing thing on that specific piece of real estate. But it gives them an option because they could always turn around and sell it, right? It doesn't bind them to putting a stadium there, but it gives them an option. And I think it's of interest for sure on this side of the state line. Now, I would also tell you, my personal opinion, I do not want to see these stadiums in two different places and two different star bonds not feed into one development area. I think at that point you are stretching the capabilities of a star bond pretty thin if you're not getting one big district to try and attack that. Now, I'm willing to be very wrong about that. I'd really need to see some data and some numbers, but I can't imagine putting it all in one place. To me, that would be more likely to get a true financial repayment versus two different areas, just because the cost around the area is going to be high then twice instead of once. One set of restaurants, one set of, you know, some, and different cities have done this in different ways. Like, I've brought the example up because it feels like this is what's coming if it comes over to Kansas, of what they did in Arlington, right? They built an entertainment district basically in between and around two new stadiums, AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play and the new Rangers Stadium. There are other cities, though, that do them in completely different areas, too. So more than one way to skin a cat, right? Like, I think there's other, yeah. But for Kansas, to me, it makes more sense to get them in the same area. And if this were to happen,
that wouldn't be the case. I mean, it would be the Royals and nothing else, in at least in that area. I remember almost three months ago, when the news came out that the Royals affiliate had acquired the note for that campus and basically, I think, kept it out of foreclosure and all of that. I think from what I can tell, this seems to be the next step in that. It doesn't solidify anything, but I remember saying on this program when that happened, to me, I think the Royals, even though they've been kept at an arm's length from this and it's been an affiliate of theirs, quote unquote, doing all of this, I know that they're you know, keeping their options open and they're trying to cast a wide net to figure it out. To me, I think we're another step forward in that process of having the Overland Park Royals when it's all said and done.
Yeah, here's the other part of it I think that's of note. I think if the Chiefs decided to stay and the appetite for the Royals in Missouri isn't as high, this would then become a good option for only the Royals and not both. I think that would be something to watch too. Now you'd be, you know, in a situation. And the other part that makes this so hard, and we've talked to him on 12 News too. We talked to these, there's a market now for these economists to evaluate these stadium deals. And you hear from them every time one of these are done. I think it will it repay the star bond? And it's always like dollars and cents, X's and O's. No, it's not going to generate that amount of money, but there's so much more that goes into it to the benefit of the state. That's why when you have pretty smart in state, in local government, like you get usually very successful people that are generally just like trying. There's no glamour in luxury in being a state politician. Like, these are people that generally have been pretty successful at whatever it is that they do. And they kind of generally agree on this one. It's because of the jobs that come in. It's because of the income that comes in from salaries and all these. There's a ton of components that'll be outside of the star bond when you talk about the benefit of the state. So when I hear some economist that gets interviewed that's like, it'll be a $2 billion baseball stadium and the star bond will only generate $500 million. Like, okay, with that specific piece of the tax, yes, but that does that. Like, how about the construction work that comes over? How about the income tax that comes over? And I also don't think the Royals are putting a roof on their stadium, so I don't think it's going to cost $2 billion. But just keep that in mind, too. And I'm a skeptic. Don't get me wrong. I'm a skeptic on this stuff. But it's a unique opportunity, or you wouldn't have pretty universal agreement from bipartisan, you know, a situation like that. But we've got our eye on it, John. Thank you for bringing that up. There's some news with the KU donation front, Tommy, and we'll get to this when we get to Shreyas on the other side, but it sounds like David Booth is believed, according to Pete Thamel, to have donated $300 million.
Yeah, that's correct.
And they just got another big one, too, in the last couple of weeks, and I think this is different than that. They just got a huge donation in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, I know Travis Goff was teasing a massive gift a few weeks ago. I think maybe he was teasing this to be the announcement. This came out just a few moments ago, and we'll get Shreyas Lotta's take on this on the other side of the break. But according to Pete Thamel from ESPN, Kansas has received an unprecedented $300 million gift from David Booth. It is believed to be among the largest single gifts in the history of college athletics.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome in. It is another Insider interview with our KU Insider, Shreyas Lotta. And I see that Shreyas forgot his Hawaiian shirt again today. That's all right. That's okay. Well, there's always next week. Shreyas, welcome in. You can find Shreyas's work all over the KC Star. He's KU beat reporter for the Star. You can follow him on X at SHRE98. Shreyas, it is football time. I mean, we've got a game next weekend. I still am having a hard time wrapping my head around that. KU's 12.5 point favorite. Some of us have been looking ahead to those kinds of things. So expected to do fairly well against Fresno State. What have you seen from practice, and what are your early takeaways and expectations here for KU?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for the season to start. I think there's going to be a lot of question marks that I have on the defensive side of the ball. I think the big thing for me is how good is the secondary. Obviously, they have to replace Kobe and Mello, guys who are all Big 12 level players. I think that's the biggest question to me, is how good the secondary is. And another question is Jalen Daniels what he looked like in the second half of last season? It seems like he's gotten the chance to work out with receivers a lot more this year. You know, he had the knee surgery in February, but, you know, he brought in a lot of the receiving room to California to work out with them for a couple of days back in July. And, you know, Lance Leipold has gushed about him and how well he's looked at camp. So I think there's some optimism there that, you know, there won't be another kind of a slow start from him like there was last year. I'm excited to see what the new look wide receiver room looks like. We've heard a lot about guys like Emmanuel Henderson, Canty, Cam Pickett, et cetera. I want to see if the hype is warranted and worth it. And, you know, obviously the running back room is going to be fun to watch because Highshaw and Williams are not Devin Neal, but, you know, let's see if they can do 80 or 90% of what Devin Neal gave Kansas the last couple of years. There's a lot of questions I have for this team just because it's a new team, but I feel optimistic if I'm a KU fan, you know, that they're in a good shot to be a bowl team if things don't go terribly awry like they did last year.
I think one of the things I'm most interested in keeping an eye on, and you mentioned his name a moment ago, and that's Daniel Highshaw. He has been a bulldozer in his time in a Jayhawks uniform, but the knock on him has been his inability to stay fully healthy. I think because of the way that he runs and you know, just bulldozes over everybody. What do you think it's going to take for him to, I know you said 80 or 90% of what Devin Neal can do, but it's kind of, I mean, I would imagine he's running back one, right? Like, what's it going to take for him to be able to have success this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the offensive line is a little new look offensive line. There's still positions kind of being fought over, like right tackle, guard, et cetera. I think those things are important. But, you know, one thing with Kansas is no matter who they seem to bring in the offensive line, after the first few weeks, they look like they've been playing together for a long time. Last year, we saw that. So I think that's going to be a big thing in Highshaw's success, is the offensive line being, you know, kind of fully gelling together and going from there. But I also, he needs to stay healthy. Like you said, we've seen him, what he can offer. He's a bulldozer. I expect him to be RB1 for Kansas this year. I expect him to be the guy who gets majority of the carries. But I don't think it'll be like, you know, what Devin Neal was getting. You know, like, I think it'll be a little less than that. And I think it'll be a little more even out because LeSean Williams is a good back as well, but because they know Daniel Hyshaw's health is a concern. And they're just, you know, obviously Devin Neal and Hyshaw are very different backs. But you're hoping, you know, you can get a 800 plus yard season out of Hyshaw, and some chances to catch the ball out of the backfield as a screener or be good blocker as well. I think he is going to be probably given the most opportunities ever been gotten or had the chance to have at Kansas since he arrived.
Should we all be buying into the Emmanuel Henderson hype, Shreyas? We know he's really fast, but I think he's probably, correct me if I'm wrong, gotten the most buzz in camp of the new guys we didn't know before.
Yeah, I think this is the most hype I've seen around a player not named Devin Neal or Jalen Daniels in my 2.5 seasons of covering Kansas football. I think he has lived up to expectations in fall camp so far. I think we need to see it play out in the actual games. But I think there should be a level of hype because this is a guy that played in the SEC. He just couldn't find himself up the depth chart in Alabama, so that means he must have been pretty good to get recruited at Alabama first place. And I was talking to some friends who went to Alabama, and I know they had mentioned he was pretty good in special teams. He looked good in limited snaps of playing wide receiver. I know there was a feel that they didn't necessarily want to lose him. And that's a team like Alabama that's perennial SEC championship contender every year. So I presume he has an opportunity to be the best wide receiver Kansas has had in a long time. I need to see it to believe it a little bit, but I think the hype is warranted. The first couple games will give us a good preview of if it's real or not.
Next week on the show, we'll really get into depth in that week zero matchup against Fresno State and talk about matchups and all of that. However, there is a little bit of news about Fresno State this week. They named their starting quarterback. The son of Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, EJ Warner, will be the starting quarterback for Fresno State in the week zero matchup against Kansas. He's no slouch of a quarterback. He's well-traveled. He's been around for a long time. What do we know about him, and how do you think the Jayhawks, leading up to this game for the rest of this week and into next week, will need to prepare for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. He's played at different stops along the way in his college journey. He's a guy that I think Kansas knows they have to prepare for because there is plenty of tape on him out there. I think they know what is at stake. I mean, this is the first game, the newly renovated booth, you know, happening. They have to win this game, not to sit there and say you have to win the game, but I think this is as much of a must win as anything, because, you know, this isn't your, you know, usual week one or week zero opponent that Kansas plays. This is Fresno State. They're going to give you a little bit of a battle, and there's an opportunity there for Kansas to come out and make a statement. Even if they are 12.5 point favorites, they can win by more, even better. And I expect them to prepare like, you know, it's a conference game, because the reality of the situation is they have to win because the support hinges on them winning this game. As we saw last year, by week five, week six, I think a lot of people were tired of Kansas losing the way they were losing. And I think something I'm paying attention to right now is they still haven't sold out the first game against Fresno State. So I'm sure they will. That's not an issue. But, you know, it's important to win in opportunities like this because fan support can be fickle depending on how good or bad Kansas football looks.
That's interesting. They just get Shreyas Lotta, our KU beat reporter, our KU insider, beat reporter for the KC Star, joining us. We just see the reports, a $300 million gift from David Booth to help partly with the renovations there. I think it's obviously significant. We've seen some of the things happening around the country. We've seen what's happened at Texas Tech, for instance, this offseason. This could be a big benefit to the program and at least fill the coffers to make sure they're where they need to be with the salary cap, I would assume, for a little while.
No, absolutely. I think this is a humongous donation. I had a feeling a donation was coming. I didn't think it'd be $300 million, but you know, I think this is huge. This is something that you know, a lot of people, if there was fear of phase two not starting after the season, it probably assuages those fears a little bit. And I think it's big to get it from David Booth, the guy whose name is attached to everything, it seems like, in Kansas Athletics, because that shows the, you know, confidence he has in KU football, the confidence he has in KU athletics. And it's exactly what I think Kansas needed to kind of show out there and show the, you know, season ticket holders, show the fans that come to games that, hey, our biggest donor is giving us $300 million. You guys don't have to give us that, but maybe you can give us a little bit to donate to make the new stadium phase two happen after season and you know, everything else surrounding it.
Yeah, I had another main thought. I mean, first thought was, yeah, like this should help complete the entire project where, I mean, because I think people forget it's not done. Like they only did phase one of the renovated booth. And so this should help complete it. But then number two, my other major thought was, what a win for Travis Goff. And I think that it shows David Booth as the main prime donor for this university's athletic department, how much faith he has in the guy leading athletics. And that's obviously Travis Goff.
No, 100%. Travis has done a tremendous job in that sense of, you know, getting money raised, picking the right coaches. There hasn't been a lot of missteps in Travis's tenure, and, you know, that's commendable and props to him for that. And, you know, I've had great relationship with him. He's always given me the opportunity to kind of talk to him when I've had questions. So I always appreciate that transparency as a reporter.
It's an interesting time. They have never needed the money in different places more than right now. I can't imagine how relieving that is. I don't know how long that lasts or how far that stretches, but we'll see. Shreyas, any other news we need to know about on the basketball front? Things have been quiet there. It's a quiet time of the year.
Yeah, nothing new on the basketball front. I think the players coming to campus Monday and back for, I mean, really this weekend to come back for school and get back to the groove of things. We're getting ready for Lawrence to be filled up again and excited for football season to start and getting in the groove of things.
We all are. Shreyas Latta, our KU insider. You'll find all his work at the KC Star. Get acclimated. Here we go. Next week, we will be in like official game preview mode. And then we go at that point. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Latta. Tommy, we're here. We are. Yeah. Could you imagine in all the turmoil and uncertainty of the changes in college athletics, just knowing you got 300 million coffers to get you by?
Yeah. Well, and again, I think people, again, like that, I think they forget that the project is not done. There's still, it's the east side of the stadium. It's still the original
and all the stuff around
Memorial Stadium. Like that's all the same. And so that hasn't been renovated yet. And they're going to need money in the coffers to be able to get that done in the entire Gateway District. I think you cannot overstate how good of a job Travis Goff has done as athletic director at Kansas. And it's a far cry in comparison to the laughingstock of athletic director that the Jayhawks had in Jeff Long prior to Travis Goff and all of the drama and controversy and the Les Miles turmoil. I mean, you could say the same thing about Lance Leipold too, but what Travis Goff has done in elevating Kansas athletics in his tenure, I think this shows the level of faith that a guy like David Booth has in Travis Goff.
He's let Bill Self handle basketball, which is great. And he's focused on football and he's kept Lance Leipold and all these things, which has been great too. I agree. All right. That does it for a Wednesday. A lot of guests, a lot of fun. We want to thank Prairie Fire Coffee for their support of the program here and all across the Odyssey family. We want to thank Crestview Country Club. It is never a better time right now as you get into the changing season to call Todd over at Crestview. If you've ever thought about it, you could probably get a little wiggle room there. Give Crestview a call. Ask them about their memberships. Tommy and I love it out there. We'll see you out there. Tommy, tomorrow we got Fitz coming in. Football season's next week.
Fingers crossed that we can be talking about a Royal sweep after day baseball today. Looking forward to having that conversation, too.
You will hear the game. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock right here on KFH. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.